The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
TFA fam, what is up? What is happening? Welcome back in for another live edition of the Fantasy Authority.
Getting prepped.
We are almost 1 week away from the start of the NFL season. 1 week away from the Bills and the Rams on Thursday Night Football. We have 1 weekend left. One of fantasy drafting. So, whether you've drafted, we're here to help. Whether you haven't, or whether you have, and you have questions about maybe who should you pick up or all those types of questions, that's what we're here for. So, Cody, how you doing?
Doing fantastic, man. We have Penn State football tomorrow. Penn State kicks off the season against Purdue. Nice little Big Ten matchup to kick off the season. So, I'm pumped, man. I'm excited.
Mizzou also kicks off the season tomorrow.
Your boy, Roundtree got released today.
I saw that. I also saw they signed Sony Michel.
Yeah, I guess we should talk about some news that actually matters.
Oh, Beatty will land on someone's practice squad.
He's on the Ravens. The Ravens got him on the practice squad.
Yeah. So.
Any questions, go ahead and start loading them up into the chat and we'll stay as long as needed. But yes, the Sony Michel news is probably the most fantasy impactful other than your boy Josh Gordon being released from the Chiefs. So that dream is dead. But Sony Michel to the Chargers.
Yeah, I think I think he's going to be the number two. I mean, it sounds like Isaiah Spiller, because there was really no positive in camp about him at all. Like, there was no like, oh, he's been looking really good. You know, he didn't really do anything in preseason. And so, I don't know. Like, you know, sometimes you should just stick with your guns on things, because like coming into the process, like the drafts and everything else, I was like, I'm not a fan. I'm not a fan of Isaiah Spiller. I was never really big on him. And then he went to the Chargers. So then I was like, okay, well, opportunity could be there for him because Joshua Kelly and Larry Roundtree are the ultimate Jags. And so I felt like, okay, this was an opportunity for him to be that number two, because I think the number two can be a good role. I mean, the Chargers have said, and even Austin Eckler himself has said, that they do not want him, you know, touching the ball as much as he did last year. And so, you know, they want that number two. That's kind of what they've been searching for. And Sony Michel kind of has proven that he can be that guy. And so, you know, I think when you see Sony Michel, like, I think he's something that people should be looking to add, you know, because I think he's going to, you know, and if something were to happen to Austin Eckler, then that is a very, very good role to be in that Charger offense. So, you know, I in my own leagues, I went out and added him today. As soon as the news looked like he was going to sign there, I went and picked him up, because I think there's a decent upside there. Even with Eckler, I think he could be like a kind of like an RB3 type. Yeah, he's going to get goal line opportunities. He's going to get short line work. He's going to mix in. So, you know, I kind of like him.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I still think, especially because of how late this is in the process, I still think this is wheels up for Eckler once again. You know, maybe a couple weeks in the season. I think the biggest threat is going to be to the goal line work for Eckler, but I still think in general that this is it's an overall positive for Eckler.
Yeah, it's not like anything that kills him or anything like that. Yeah, I mean he's still going to be heavily involved in the passing game, which is where the most lucrative part of his game is, anyways. Yeah. I've always kind of viewed him as kind of like Austin Eckler. Yeah, I do view him as Austin Eckler. I view him as Alvin Kamara, right? Somebody that he's going to get a lot of targets. You know, can get up to 100 targets in this offense, and you know anything in the carry department is just a positive for him. And so obviously the touchdowns was a big boom from him compared to what we've seen in years past. But now we know he can do it, so it's not really that big of a big of a deal. So, but yeah, I just that was a good move for that. And then, some of the other moves we've seen so far this week, I think Marlon Mack getting released, but he's back on their practice squad. But it just seems like a weird move. Like I didn't really understand why, because like you figure even at best, he'd probably be their number three, there. But big news for Damian Pierce, of course, My biggest pet peeve now for fantasy Twitter has been, anytime somebody gets hyped, like people have to like just like try to shit on it, and like oh my god, people are so stupid if they like, Damian Pierce, and I'm like, yeah, well, there was a guy named James Robinson who was also on a really bad offense who also kind of came in late in the process and ended up being a league winner, so. We talked about it last night on the ranking show that we did. Like, I think he has a path to being like a low end RB1. Like, that's not crazy to think. If he can be the true bell cow in the offense, I think that's definitely in the range of possibilities for him.
Yeah, I'm still extinguishing the flames on my desk here from whenever you were talking about that last night. I mean, I know that James Robinson did it, and I think Pierce is gonna. He's a fine RB2. No, it just feels like James Robinson is an outlier, and we typically don't bet on those guys.
No, but I think where I get it, it's kind of jarring, right? Because I was kind of thinking about this today, like, a couple weeks ago, he was a late round guy. He was a guy you were drafting in the 10th round, right? 10th, 11th round, stuff like that. And now, like, if you drafted today, you're probably gonna have to draft him in the 5th round, right? But it's just opportunity. I mean, that's really all it boils down to. Like, opportunity is king. If you can guarantee me and say that, hey, this guy's now going to get 60, 65, maybe 70% of the opportunities in this backfield, he becomes very, very valuable. I mean, he's being appropriately valued. Like, fifth round is fine. He's going at that back end of the RB2s where there's a lot of question marks with a lot of those guys, going around the Josh Jacobs types. So it's perfectly okay, for that value for him. Yes, again, it's very much like James Robinson, because when James Robinson, when that happened, we have to remember that, like, Leonard Fournette, right? Like, he got cut, and then it was like, oh, wow. Like, that was very shocking for a lot of people. And then all of a sudden, James Robinson, who was on nobody's radar, shot up. If you drafted that last weekend right before the season started, you were paying a heavy premium for him. And so it was different, right? And so, like, again, I see how it's jarring for people, but that's all we have to be fluid. We have to be like, we have to be like water, right? And you have to be. To be able to be quick to, change your takes on stuff. So Damian Pierce has looked great so far in limited opportunities, and he's going to be the lead back here in this offense. And the only other option in his way is Rex Burkhead, which I'm not worried about Rex Burkhead.
Any thoughts on Kenyon Drake? Ashton saying in the chat that he's surprised the Steelers didn't snag him. Thoughts on Drake with the Ravens now?
He's super interesting because, Gus Edwards isn't going to be ready for a while. We know that. And then you also, from there, you also have, J.K. Dobbins. Like, I don't know if he's going to play week 1. It's sounding like he may not even play week 1. And that's heavily concerning coming off an ACL like this, that he's still not ready. I mean, Saquon, whenever he went down, I mean, he suffered that injury in, October or it was, I guess, early September, but he had to wait until October to have the surgery. So he was well past what J.K. Dobbins was, and if he still was able to start the year, obviously, he was not as explosive. He wasn't the same guy as he probably is now, but still. So it's very concerning for me for J.K. Dobbins. So for Kenyon Drake, like, he can be a three-down back, and so he can lead this backfield. And, I guess Mike Davis is there, but I don't care about Mike Davis. We've seen that experiment already, and that didn't turn out too well last year for them. But yeah, I think he is somebody that I, at least for the first couple of weeks of the season, you have him on your team, and maybe you play him, and maybe you try to slide him into a deal for somebody, and see if you can get anything out of him.
Yeah, I think it's a little worrisome, but he also had I can't remember what Saquon's was. I can't remember if he had any additional damage or if it was just the ACL. But obviously, we found out, you know, just a few weeks ago that Dobbins did have that additional LCL or whatever it was, LCL, MCL, PCL, one of those other CLs.
I'm not a doctor. I just play one on TV.
One of those other CLs was also impacted with Dobbins' injury. So it's obviously not what you want to see at this point, but there was also a time a couple weeks ago that people were saying, like, hey, don't be surprised if he gets put on IR to start the season, which would have meant the first, 4 weeks. So it's a little unnerving. You obviously want to see him be ready and be ready to go, but there was also this possibility all along that he was not going to be ready for the first couple of weeks. So obviously we know there's going to be plenty of running back volume to go around. So once Dobbins hopefully is ready to go, I think that'll be a nice split with him and Drake. But yes, I do like Drake in that landing spot. I mean, we even saw a couple usable weeks last year from Latavius Murray and Devonta Freeman. You know what I mean? Just out there sputtering on that last little bit of gas. And there were a couple weeks they were, you know, RB2 options. So do like that one. Got a question here from Mark Maloney. Rank these wide receivers: A-Rob, Judy, Gabe, Dave, and Marquise Brown.
A-Rob, Gabe Davis, Marquise Brown, and then Judy. I have currently, which should be coming out in the next day or two, our wide receiver rankings, but I have A-Rob and Gabe Davis as wide receiver twos, and then I have Judy and Brown as either high or you know, middle wide receiver threes.
I would have it. I do need to adjust my Gabe Davis ranking. But I have it how it is laid out here. This is how I would rank them. I'm obviously much higher on A-Rob than than consensus. Higher on Judy than consensus now that, you know what I mean, it's obviously it seems like everything's pointing to Courtland Sutton being the guy. So I'm still a little bit higher on consensus than Judy. And then Davis and Marquise Brown, really like both of those options. But that's how I would have it, Mark. Yeef. Should I trade Dylan and Rondale for Pierce and Kirk? Dynasty PPR on my wide receivers are questionable. Next best is Rondale. Might have to swap a third and for a second on top of that. Dylan and Rondale for Pierce and Kirk.
You're the dynasty guy.
I do like the upgrade going from Rondale to Kirk. To be honest, I haven't thought about Damian Pierce's dynasty value. Man. Because the thing is, obviously, he's a fourth round pick, and I know that with running backs, you know what I mean, there's not really any round one running backs anymore in terms of NFL draft capital until this year with Bijan Robinson when he comes out. I'm sure he's going to end up going in the first. So like a fourth rounder, you know, once you adjust it for the positional premiums and whatnot, you know, isn't all that bad. But we saw somebody like Michael Carter go out, perform pretty damn well, and then the Jets trade up in the second to take Breeze. So, man, I just don't know dynasty-wise what I'd be doing with Pierce right now. I think right now, honestly, would be the time to sell Pierce in Dynasty and not necessarily buy. I think there's obviously more upside with Dylan. Obviously, you like the offense better. If anything were to happen to Aaron Jones, AJ Dillon is a locked in weekly RB1. It's going to have standalone value as well. You know, obviously, I know those wide receivers are questionable, but I think I'm going to hold. Just after kind of talking through that. I do really like Kirk. I have him ranked as a high wide receiver 3 this year. But I don't know if I'd be willing to move up to get Kirk and lose out with Dylan. I think it's kind of where I stand.
Yeah, the only thing that's tough with Pierce is, like I said, is the role that he has, right? And what was it? Waleedo said Pierce is going to be a sell high after the season. It's a Michael Carter situation. I don't think he's a Michael Carter situation because he's a different running back than Michael Carter is. Michael Carter is a little bit more on the smaller side, where I mean, Damian Pierce is a grown man out there running the football. I mean, he is a big back, and if he can be fluid in the passing game, he's going to get far more volume than what Michael Carter did too. More opportunities than Michael Carter did. And so, like, I don't view it as that type of situation. I don't think this is a Michael Carter type situation.
I think it absolutely could be, just because of the draft capital.
Yeah, but like I said, like, I don't view a fourth round pick anymore as like I especially the way like this year's draft went with these running backs. Like, I don't view it as like, oh, this guy could easily be replaced. Now, sure, maybe they do. I mean, maybe, but it feels like that it really depends on how he produces this year, you know, because he's going to get all the opportunities that he can take. And if he has like a James Robinson type season, I don't know if they do go out. And it would be really, I guess, dependent on what they do, like a head coach, right? Is Lovie Smith the long-term answer? I mean, if he gets replaced this for, you know, and everybody gets replaced in a year or two, you know, for whatever the next coach is, that's what it's always felt like. This is kind of like a holdover situation for this coaching staff and, you know, for this really the GM as well. Then maybe that is what happens, but you know, it just really depends on, you know, how he, you know, goes from here. But yeah. Oh, and yes, DJ Nation is going to happen tomorrow. I told Maddie, if you back out on me tomorrow, I'm gonna fight you. I will drive to Virginia or fly and punch you in the throat. So yeah.
Roberto, good to see you as well. Devin wants to know, what are we thinking about Javonte? He's a back end RB1 for me.
I love Javonte. You know, I've said it for a while now. I don't really buy into a whole lot of the Melvin Gordon stuff that, you know, he's going to be a 50-50 split and all that stuff. I'm not going to go down that, you know, that path again. There's plenty of videos on this channel that you can watch for my full take on Javonte Williams. But yes, I'm not worried about Javonte. And I actually think that, I think he very well could be Jonathan Taylor from last year.
Yeah, I still think Melvin's going to be involved, but I don't think it's going to be the 50-50 split that has kind of been pandered around and talked about. I do think that Gordon's going to be involved. On the podcast, you're not going to find it on the YouTube channel, but on the podcast, our guy David Berger has been doing a series all August long where he's talking to beat reporters for the actual teams that are at training camp. And the Broncos guy that we had on, Zach Stevens, he was saying that, you know, expect Melvin to be involved. He's not really going anywhere, but Javonte is going to be like the 1A back here. So probably like a 60-40, you know, Melvin's still going to be in the picture, but should be, you know, not full Javonte season, but more than what we got last year. Got a couple of RBs to rank for Mark: Pierce, Edmonds, Penny, and Gibson.
So it's Pierce for me, and then Gibson, and then Edmonds, and then Penny.
Edmonds, Pierce, Penny, and then Gibson.
I think this is a pretty interesting group of names. If you know, not talking about Pierce, we've kind of already said we have to say about him, but you know, yeah, we talked about him on the ranking show we just did that got dropped today. But you know, now with the Brian Robinson news, that you know, that who knows when he's going to be back? I mean, it's probably going to be a while, and at best, it sounds like it's halfway through the year. And by that point, I mean, if Antonio Gibson is playing like he was last year and is, you know, doesn't get hurt, and I think that, you know, I even when he comes back, like they're not just going to, okay, Brian Robinson, here's the job. Like that would be over with at that point. And he would obviously mix in, and, you know, obviously it's not necessarily what we want to see. But I mean, now, I mean, we have to view Antonio Gibson differently than what we did, you know, just a couple of days ago. And so, like I said, I think he's now back to being, you know, kind of a strong RB2. In this backfield now. You know, J.D. McKissic is still there. He's going to take pass catching work away from him, but he has the absolute, I mean, he has the goal line opportunities locked down. And so I mean, I'm back in on Gibson, not the RB1 Gibson, and then, you know, Rashad Penny. I also think Rashad Penny is kind of an interesting name because he's going so late in drafts. Like he's a guy that goes like eighth, ninth round. And I think he could end up being a pretty solid, you know, value that we look back upon. I mean, and realize that, you know, last year's ending really was it, that he can build upon that, kind of what a little bit of what he did last year. I mean, he's not going to be running 100 yards a game like he was last year and, you know, crushing, you know, being the best running back in the league, because he really was over that last little five or six games of the season. I mean, he was legitimately the best running back in the league over that. It's not going to happen again, but I still think he can be a solid RB2, and, you know, at that point. And even, I mean, Kenneth Walker is dealing with the sports hernia, you know, issue that he was dealing with. That's, you know, so, and then Chase Edmonds, I think looking at him, like, I think there's a big ceiling there for him in this offense. It's just him and Raheem Mostert. You know, you kind of talked a lot about him last night, but he's kind of been overlooked, and I don't really know why, because he's always been, you know, he's been a pretty safe bet, you know, whenever, when it, and now he's at there in Miami. And I think he's honestly, I think he's probably third in targets this year on this team. I think he ends up being, you know, the number three target. I don't, people drafting Mike Gesicki, it makes no sense to me whatsoever. He shouldn't be on anybody's radar. I mean, there was talks about looking to trade him. They're trying to make him a blocker, like, which makes zero sense to me, because that's not his game. Like, he is you don't want to line him up as an inline blocker. He's more of a move tight end. And so I don't know. I just think Edmonds is locked in as being the number three guy, and very much in like a kind of like an Austin Eckler light type role.
Yeah, I really like Evans. We don't have to dive into the whole thing. You can just go watch the running back ranking video that we dropped if you want to see our full thoughts. And you talk about Gibson on that video as well. Caden, fellow on the right, Pittsburgh fan?
He's a fan, but like I mean he's more of like, you know, if you've watched the movie Major League, the guy that has like all of the stuff crossed out and, like, you know, just yells and heckles all the players and everything else. I guess we're just waiting for Wild Thing to show back up and, you know, and all of a sudden
Wild Thing,
he'll turn his hat back. Oh my God. Oh my God. It's him. That's all we're waiting on.
I grew up outside of Pittsburgh. Thoughts on Pickens though. Dude should erupt this year. I don't see the eruption happening. Not with, you know, not with whatever they have under center, whoever that's going to end up being. And then, you know, you still have Deontay there, still have Patty Freiermuth to get targets. Obviously, have Najee, still have Claypool. There are, you know, the cliche, there's a lot of mouths to feed. This Pittsburgh offense, if they actually had a quarterback worth half a damn, would be a very, very dangerous offense. It's not going to happen this year. You know, potentially, like, do they move on from Claypool? That would obviously open things up a lot for Pickens. I know Deontay only got, what, a 2 or 3 year deal. So it's not like he's there, for, you know, super long term, but obviously Claypool would be the next one to kind of come up who might be, might not be with the team. So I don't think that the eruption is going to happen. We've got nothing but positive reports, but I just don't think that this is going to be the year. I think we're still at least a year out.
I think it just really depends on what this offense can be and what they're looking like, you know, because is there any concern with Najee Harris and this, you know, Liz Frank injury? Because it is very much an injury that can re-aggravate that. And If he dislocates it, it's surgery, and he is in the Travis Etienne camp where he is done for the year. So I mean, there is a little bit of concern there with that injury. You know, I was actually shocked that they had him play in that final preseason game, because I'm like, why? Like, what are you doing? Like, there's no reason to run him out there. And so, if Najee won, if they're not, maybe they reduce his role a little bit. You know, and maybe I am surprised though. I guess maybe it says more about maybe the injury is really not that bad, and maybe it was very minor, because they also didn't bring in another running back, unless they're just really confident in Benny Snell or Anthony McFarland.
Nope, but, Anthony, your boy Anthony McFarland was released. it's been a tough few days for the my guys.
for the super deep sleepers, guys that I have. Yeah.
It sounds like Jalen Warren.
Yeah, well, he's done a really good job in camp. But with George Pickens, I love George Pickens. I think he's gonna end up being a baller. And it wouldn't surprise me if he actually is the number two, target in this offense. But you know, by the end of the year, so I just don't know if they don't really have, unless Kenny Pickett. Because like, what do you think it's going to take for them to install Kenny Pickett as the starting quarterback? How much of a leash do you think Trubisky gets?
I really don't know. I really don't.
Because it feels a lot like that this is going to be like, because like even in a preseason, like the Steelers games, it was they're chanting, Pickett and everything else. And it's going to take one bad game from Trubisky where the fan base is just going to lose their minds and be like, get Kenny Pickett in here.
Yeah. I mean, I think the calls from the fan base are going to start fairly early on. I think the Steelers know what they have in that offensive line, which is not much, and I don't know if they're going to rush Pickett out there and throw him into the fire like that. It sounds like this offensive line could be worse than it was last year, and it was not good last year. Again, we had a Steelers beat writer on, and he was basically saying that the additions of Cole and Daniels have not been working out the way that the Steelers had hoped. So could be a rough year.
And it's tough for them too, because how good of a coach Tomlin is. And so every year they finish like right around 500. So they never get like this great draft pick, they're not going to tank. And so with them taking Pickett, obviously now they have to give him opportunities, but I don't know. I don't know if Pickett's going to be the guy either.
I don't think so.
Should have drafted Malik Willis because he looks like he's going to be a baller.
Yeah. What they should have done was just not brought back Ben last year, sucked for a year, and got a higher pick. That's what they should have done.
Yeah. The
and
tough
then
part,
not taking a quarterback.
But the tough part was that this wasn't the year to do that. Like next year should be that right. Year, CJ Stroud, Bryce Young, and all those guys. So, yeah. I don't know. We'll see.
12-team PPR. Is drafting Ramondre Stevenson in the sixth too early?
I think so. Because I just feel like with those running backs in that range, like there's better options at that spot, right? I'm just pulling up the ADP real quick.
Okay. Yeah, I think it's – while you pull that up, I think it is a touch too early. It's so funny how for the longest time with – New England Patriot running backs and Bill Belichick, it was, fade them, don't listen to anything that Bill says. And now all of a sudden, like, we're getting these little whispers that it, could be like a three-down roll coming out for Ramondre. And all of a sudden, everyone's just like, oh, yep, let's do it. Let's get, like, I think he's fine as a later round if you want to take that upside swing. But, I would rather have Pierce in the sixth, obviously, than to take Ramondre Stevenson.
Yeah, I mean, you can even get guys like Antonio Gibson's going in that range right now. J.K. Dobbins is kind of going right around that range. A.J. Dillon is going in that range. Miles Sanders is going in that range. I love Ramondre Stevenson this year, too. Like, I just think you're overdrafting him. You don't have to take him that early.
Yeah.
You want to take him in the seventh or eighth. I think even in the eighth round, he'll be sitting there. And so, take him there. Like, there's no reason to overdraft for Ramondre Stevenson.
Swift or Javonte in a dynasty PPR?
Javonte.
This is super close. Yeah, this is close. I lean Javonte. Like I said, I'm not sure. You know, this year is the year for Javonte to go out and just completely take over the backfield. I think we might be a year away from that. But obviously, in dynasty, it doesn't really matter if we're talking about this year or next year. I think I lean Javonte, but it's super close. Our ma'am Tam rocking with us. I have Lazard, but I have a trade offer for Ayuk. Thoughts?
So trade Lazard for Ayuk?
Yeah, I would keep Lazard. I'm sure you're going to say to take Ayuk.
Yeah.
So we are of no help.
Well, so because it's a little, it just, I guess, depends on what you believe, right? Because even Matt LaFleur today said that, you know, God. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I could see that. I could see where it's more of a committee type approach where the ball is really spread around, right? Because, I mean, we saw there was times last year where Davante Adams didn't play every game last year. And so when that happened, like, it very was much a committee. Like, it wasn't like, you know, one guy got 12 targets, right? And so while I think Lazard is valuable, I don't think he's going to be seeing, like, some people think that he's just going to be, like, the man. And I don't know if that's going to be the case. Because we still have, like, is Romeo Doubs going to be a thing? You know, like, Sammy Watkins for the first 4 weeks of the season could be a thing. You know, is he even on the wall? Is he anywhere in there? Yep. There it is. There it is. Yeah, I would rather have Ayuk.
Yeah, I mean, I could see a scenario where, and Kev, this is obviously how you play. If you're just swinging for upside, I could see that the upside residing with Ayuk, because I still believe that Lazard is going to lead the team in targets, but it's obviously not going to be a Davante Adams type of gap, right? Like, it's like Lazard being the wide receiver one, he's not going to go out and get 160 targets, and the next closest is going to be sitting at, you know, 95. Like, that's not going to be the case. But I would obviously rather put my faith in Aaron Rodgers as a quarterback, because with Ayuk, you're still talking about Debo, you're still talking about Kittle, and then you're going a little bit more run heavy potentially with Trey Lance. We have some questions with Trey Lance's accuracy. So, but I could see that, like, the bigger boom bust games residing with Ayuk. Like, we saw a couple of those last year with Debo, right? Like, it didn't look pretty, but there was that one game where Debo had 20 something, 30 something fantasy points. It didn't look pretty when it happened, but he still had it. Like I said, I lean Lazard because of some of the overall situational questions with Ayuk and that 49ers offense. But, you know, assuming that Lazard is your wide receiver four, wide receiver five, you know what I mean? If you need to put somebody in your lineup, you know, on a Sunday night game where you're swinging for the fences, I could see a case to be made for Ayuk over Lazard.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, it's kind of like I said, like, over from weeks 9 through 18, Brandon Ayuk out-targeted Debo Samuel by a pretty decent gap. And he was wide receiver 15 over that span too. So it's just going to be, you know, how good is Trey Lance going to be as a passer and how much volume is going to be there, right? Like, Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't great as a passer. Like, he was game manager, where I actually think that the role that Brandon Ayuk is going to play is going to be that field stretcher. And we know that Trey Lance is a good deep ball passer. And I think that's where, you know, that he comes in. And so, I don't know. I just prefer Brandon Ayuk. I just think that he's a better talent for sure. So, I don't know.
D-Lo, Should I draft Eckler or Jefferson on the number two pick? My keepers from last season are Kyler and Swift.
Justin Jefferson, especially in a keeper league. D-Lo, too, if you're still in here. How long can you keep him? Do you have any like restrictions on how long you can keep these players? Because, you know, Justin Jefferson could be a guy you could keep for the next 8 years, you know, if you wanted to, depending on how long you're allowed to keep these guys.
Yeah, I don't think – even if it's only 1 year.
Oh, I'm still going Jefferson, but I was just curious.
Yeah. Yeah, I love Eckler. That was my guy last year. Just really hard to see him scoring 20 touchdowns again. And in PPR format, on a points per game basis, Eckler only averaged two more points per game than Jefferson did last year. Like I said, that was with scoring 20 total touchdowns. Like, very, very unlikely that Eckler reproduces that. I still think he is a, you know, a locked in top five fantasy pick, but I'm taking Jefferson over Eckler 99% of the time.
100%. Okay, normally every season we can keep two players. We can keep as long as you want. Yeah. How is somebody not keeping Jefferson?
Yeah, what?
But yeah, I mean, you definitely take Justin Jefferson, and then if you can keep him as long as you want, then next year you just don't keep Kyler Murray, and you just keep Jefferson and DeAndre Swift. Unless this is like a 2QB league, even so, then maybe you have a question. But then that would still just be for me. Then maybe these just Jefferson or Swift would be the question. But yeah,
ET got Michael Thomas in the seventh or eighth round of my draft. What's the potential you see for him this season? What are you looking behind you to make sure that Walido's not there? What?
No, it's like, but like, I know that I'm not high on Michael Thomas. Like, he's one of those players in that range that I feel like I'm either going to be really right about or really wrong about. Because I just can't draft a 29-year-old wide receiver that hasn't really played for the last year and a half, 2 years, and that also is dealing with injuries and is already dealing with another injury this year with a more of a compensation type injury. With the hamstring, a soft tissue injury, which tend to, pop back up. And so he also is just not a great fit for Jameis Winston for what Jameis Winston does the best. Like, Jameis Winston is the best targeting outside wide receivers. He's not much of a guy who's going to target those inside guys. It's much similar to what we saw when he was with the Bucks, you know, and same thing. Like, so that's why I think Chris Olave is such a smash value. And he continually just doesn't really rise up the boards. I mean, Drake London goes ahead of him every time. Treylon Burks goes ahead of him. And I just think that he has the best path to being like the wide receiver one. And so Michael Thomas, like, people are hoping that Michael Thomas is going to be the Michael Thomas of old. And it's just not going to happen. He's not going to see 180 targets. He's not going to see 150 targets. Like, I think that's a better chance that he is probably like, sees 110 targets, and for what he does, that's not really great. So unless he's going to make it up in the end zone and, you know, be a big time red zone threat, then like, I'm not in love. Like, at that price, that cost, that seventh or eighth round, it's fine. I think you can take a shot on him, but I just wouldn't be doing it with the expectation that he's going to return to being like the man, because I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, I think full PPR, he's fine in that range. I think both of us had him as like a mid to late wide receiver three, if I'm remembering correctly from the rankings video that we did last night. But yeah, the volume is not going to be there, and the target accuracy going from, you know, somebody like Breeze who is pinpoint to Jameis is going to be a bit of a fall there. So, like I said, I think he's fine in that range. I'm just not expecting any sort of ceiling, I guess. I think he's going to be a solid floor play. I don't think you're going to be winning any weeks because of Michael Thomas. Alexis, before I answer this. I just now realized that I never answered you in the Discord. Did you make any decisions on the trades that you were sending? Let me know that one, and then we'll come back to it. Because if you didn't make any decisions, I want to get Kev's thoughts since he is our resident keeper guy. CB, hey guys, I have Higgins, Lamb, Ayuk, Moore, Amonra. Higgins and Lamb both have injuries. Start the injured if they are questionable next week, or start two of the other three.
I'm so excited for start set questions.
Yeah.
I think Higgins
should be fine.
Yeah, he had the off season shoulder surgery.
I wouldn't expect him to miss. If they are questionable, I'm still playing him. I'm just looking to see if there was any updates on Lamb. I'm not seeing anything. Yeah, I mean, as long as we don't hear pitch count, anything with easing him back in, anything like that, I'm rolling those two out. I don't want to get cute in week one and start somebody like Elijah Moore or Monra over one of my two studs. Not week one anyway.
Yeah.
Dominique, I traded Aaron Jones and Terry McLaurin for Saquon and AJ Brown. Half PPR. My other RBs are Jesus. And your other RBs are Kamara, McCaffrey.
I don't even know how you pulled that off, but good for you. Good for you.
That is a nasty trio of running backs to be rolling out every week. Kamara, McCaffrey, and Saquon. Well done. Yeah, how do you? Because that's an upgrade both ways. Like Terry McLaurin, one of these things is not like the other.
You would have felt like that maybe it would have taken like Kamara and McLaurin to be able to make that trade.
Yeah. But I didn't. Good for you. Good for you. Trade offer in a Superflex full PPR. Got offered Claypool and Wentz for Cousins. And Cousins is Derek's QB3. I asked who the other receivers are. We have Keenan Evans, Jalen Waddle, Gabe Ayuk, D-Hop, and Gallup. I do not think you need Claypool. I'm keeping Cousins as my third QB.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I was thinking, if you're pondering that, maybe you have a weak wide receiver room, but you don't. Keenan Evans, Jalen, Davis, Ayuk, D-Hop, Gallup. You do not need Claypool.
No.
There's a massive downgrade from Cousins to Wentz. I think you could even I would think about dangling Dak out on your trade block. Just to see, because in a super flex league, just to see what it would fetch you. Because I am more than fine rolling out Cousins as my QB2 every single week.
Yeah. I mean, Kirk Cousins is always undervalued every year. Like, he's not a sexy name by any means, but, I mean, he is going to be a guy that's going to finish as, like, a back-end QB1. And, I mean, where do you realistically expect, like, Dak to finish? He could finish inside the top five, sure. But I think it's more likely that he finishes probably around Cousins anyway. So,
going back to Alexis' question, with having Taylor and Eckler as keepers, who are their handcuffs that I have to draft?
None. Don't draft, Alexis, do not draft handcuffs. Like
your own anyway.
Yeah. Your own handcuffs. It's bad process. You're burning a roster spot, and like one, like, you know, so if Austin Ekeler goes down, like whoever's going to take that role or whoever, like we talked about with Sonny Michel, right? Like Sonny Michel's not going to like just get all like get all this pass catching work, right? It's just not the way that's going to work. And so, yeah, he's going to get a little bit more opportunities, but he's not going to be that guy. And so same thing with like Nyheim Hines. Like Nyheim Hines isn't all of a sudden going to start touching the ball 20 times a game because Jonathan Taylor goes down. And so it's just not a smart move to handcuff your own guys. Like the only player that I could really think about that maybe I would you could consider it would be Alexander Mattison, just because we've seen so many times that when Cook goes down, like Mattison comes in and just balls. Like even then, I hate it because you're only talking about maybe two or three times a year that you could possibly use him, and that's the only time that he's really is going to become relevant. And when does it happen and stuff like that. And so. It's just never smart. Like, draft other people's handcuffs because then they're so much more valuable to other people whenever those things happen, and it can really just kind of cripple another team, and you already have them on your roster. And so, you know, it's just not smart to draft your own play, your own handcuffs.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think there's, like he's saying, ones that you have to draft. Not for these two.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Dominique, even in a six team, that's still that trade still is more than heavily in your favor. Six team, 12 team, that is all you. Kyle rocking with us, seeing a lot of new faces in here as well. Not Kyle. Kyle's been rocking with us for a while. But if you are new to the channel, please hit us with a sub and a like. We are encroaching on 2,800 subs on our way to 3K. So any help getting there would be much appreciated. But thoughts on the better flex option here for Kyle, Mooney or Lazard? Since Kevin's just going to sit there,
I have to do something that I haven't got to do so far. And I just pulled up my week one rankings. And so, you know, I started polishing those things up ready for next week. And because sneak peek, we will be releasing our week one rankings probably Monday. And so anyways, I wanted to go see where I had them. And Darnell Mooney would be the guy I would go with for sure.
You had to look at your week one rankings to know that.
Well, hey, I just want to look, you know, you got to take a peek, you know.
Yeah, it's definitely Mooney. Mooney for sure. The target volume, the target efficiency and accuracy may not be there compared to somebody like somebody like Aaron Rodgers, obviously. But I think Mooney's target share and overall target numbers are going to be well above Lazard. A lot of Lazard talk tonight. A lot of questions coming in. This one coming in from Ryan: would you trade Kamara and Lazard for Adams and Hunt? A little weak at wide receiver. Wide receiver one is DK. Other RBs are Eckler, Connor, and Edmonds.
Well, first of all, who is your other wide receivers, Ryan? Because I just don't love that. I'm just not as high on Devontae Adams as a lot of other people are. I think he's like a back end wide receiver one this year. And that's because there's just not enough volume to go around for him. And so this is just such a different situation. Yes, we have the shower narrative of playing with this, old college teammate. But I just don't think he has that I'm not as high on him. And so if I was gonna trade Kamara, I want something better than Devontae Adams, as crazy as it sounds. And I mean I don't think you need Hunt. So
what is the, because obviously there's only going to be a handful of guys above Devontae Adams, right? Who's a wide receiver you would target if you don't want to go after Adams with Kamara? He has DK Lazard, I'm assuming Deontay, and Olave. So Deontay is your wide receiver one.
Yes. I actually think you leave it. I don't think you need to make a trade. Sometimes we get in the habit of trying to make trades just to make them, and I think this is one of those times. You have really strong running backs, but as we know, running backs get hurt. And when you start dealing away from your power position, then all of a sudden your running backs are weaker. Yes, you still have Eckler, Connor, and Edmonds, but, I mean, Connor is hurt almost every year, and if something were to happen to him, now all of a sudden you're in a real, real bad situation where you only have Eckler and Edmonds. So I wouldn't want to trade Kamara if I don't have to. And I don't think your wide receivers are that bad. I think they're okay. I think Deontay Johnson is going to be fine. I think he can still be, at the very least, a high-end wide receiver two. I still think he can be a wide receiver one, back-end wide receiver one like he was last year. But even still, I still think he's fine with him. DK, I think some of the hate for DK has been a little bit too much, a little bit too overboard. He can't, produce anything, and people are acting like he's just going to be completely dead. Well, I'm not in love with the Seattle offense at all. I do think that, with Geno Smith, we saw it last year, I think he was averaging 20 PPR points a game in the short sample size that he had with Geno Smith last year. And so I think he's going to be fine. There's not a lot of boom from those guys, but I think as we go through the season, waivers are going to happen and you're going to be able to pick guys up and, kind of make additions. And you have Chris Olave, who's another guy that I absolutely love. I mean, he has a very high ceiling, so I just wouldn't make the move. I would stay with what you have. I think you're better off with Kamara. And Lazard, for that matter, than you are with getting Devontae Adams in mind.
Yeah, I think you're right. What I would look at doing is because with Connor's injury history, not saying that he's injury prone, but with his injury history, I would potentially look at moving off of him after he has a game or two where he, pops off, puts up, 18, 20 fantasy points. I would look to try it, because there's definitely going to be, if you're holding on to these four running backs, there's absolutely going to be somebody in your league who is weaker. So I'd wait until, even somebody like Edmonds as well, to be quite honest. I love him. I'm really high on him this year, but saying that I'm high on him is saying that I have him as a back-end RB2 when he's been going as an RB3. So I think even if Edmonds pops and has, one of those 20 point fantasy weeks, you could look at moving off of one of those two. AO back in the building. Just did one of my drafts, two more to go. Got Mahomes, Keenan, Deontay, Najee, Mixon, Goddard, and Zeke. Benches, DK, D-Hop, Hunt, Devonta, and Boyd. In a 10-man, should I trade one of my running backs or wide receivers to upgrade at tight end?
No. I think Goddard's fine, right? I think Goddard is a solid option. Yeah, you don't have, you know, one of the elite couple of tight ends, but I mean, on a week-to-week basis, he's still going to be, you know, in the upper echelon of tight ends. And he could be a guy, you know, if this offense does become more pass-heavy, which is what I think they're going to do this year, I think that he could end up being a, like, a top-five tight end this year. Like, it's in the range of outcomes for him. And so you don't need an upgrade at Goddard. Like, it's not like you have, like, Irv Smith or, you know, one of those guys that are kind of like, you know, 50-50 on it. Are they going to pop this year? Are they going to break or not? Where Goddard, I think you're fine. And so, no, you don't need to do anything. I wouldn't mess with, you know, trying to trade for a tight end. And you're fine everywhere else. I mean, Mahomes, you're elite at. Your wide receivers, I think, are pretty solid with Keenan, Deontay, you know, DK. You know, DeAndre Hopkins, when he comes back, I mean, that could be a pretty big boost to your offense once that does come. And then really, maybe once he comes back, I mean, then you could possibly even look to trade him if you wanted to. I think that's an option. Your running backs, Najee Mixon, you're great there. You probably need, from what I can tell, looks like you probably need a little bit more depth because you have a lot of wide receivers on your bench. You only have Kareem Hunt, which is, I think he's fine in a pinch. And so, but, you know, obviously, I guess you have Zeke too. So, yeah, I think it's a really solid team, actually. Love Tyler Boyd. We've talked about that. Like, he's going way too late in drafts. He should be going much sooner than he is.
Yeah, I agree. I think you're fine, Anthony. You know, unless you got an offer sent to you that like you just couldn't pass up, I would just hold pat. I think Goddard's fine. He's in like that tight end like 9 spot for me, somewhere around there, 8, 9, 10, something like that. So, you know, you're not talking about having like Mo Alley Cox or, you know, Albert O, someone who kind of seems to be slipping a little bit. I think you're fine with Goddard. Thoughts on Hunter Renfro?
I think it's somebody's going to get touch squeezed, I think, a little bit here. And I think that's it could be him. Because a lot of Hunter Renfro's production came when Darren Waller went down last year, whenever he really saw a pretty significant rise. And now with Devontae Adams, like, I think he's fine at cost where his ADP lies, but he's not like a priority to me. Because I think it takes an injury to either Waller or Adams for him to truly kind of get back to being kind of that guy he was last year. So I think he's fine, but he's not somebody, like I said, he's just not a priority.
Yeah, I'm definitely not overdrafting him. You know, if something pops up with Waller, you know, I mean, I think he could be, you know, an interesting flex level kind of play, but definitely going to fall back to earth following what he did last year. So to draft full PPR, rank my team: Hurts at QB, JT, Mixon, Hunt, Penny, Gordon, Etienne at running back, wide receivers: AJ Brown, Cooks, Bateman, Ayuk, Tolbert, Jahan, Dotson, Kelsey at tight end, kicker, and defense. Doesn't really weigh in here. I really like it.
Yeah. This like. Derek, you just come here trying to flex on us with this team? Because, like, this – hey, I'd be bragging about it too if I had this. I mean, this is really good. Love Jalen Hurts. I mean, you're running backs with JT and Mixon. Awesome.
Yeah, how do you get –
I don't know how Mixon fell that far down.
Yeah.
But, hey, good for you. And you got Travis Etienne. I mean, I love that. It's just, like, tucked in there right in the middle, like, at the end.
Yeah, after Hunt and Penny and Gordon.
Yeah, like, he should be third in this list. But regardless – you know, good depth with Hunt, Penny, and Gordon. And then a wide receiver, you know, I mean, then your wide receivers with A.J. Brown, Cooks, Bateman, Ayuk, Tolbert. I mean, great. I mean, excellent. And then Travis Kelce in that, too. Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, wait.
Then I'm like, like, because like, he's going, like, back in the first round or, you know, early second. So I'm like, How did you get also Mixon in this deal with, and then Etienne is going like in the fourth round and AJ Brown's going in the third round. Good job. Yes. Good for you.
Yeah. No matter how it happened, it happened. You did it. even as so it's a kind of this was just a fun league, got the money drops kind of, even as it still doesn't make sense. Still I don't
hey, good for you. I will say this because like with all the like we've been getting a ton of comments on our in our comment section on all our videos. Absolutely appreciate it, everybody that does. Mad respect. But the one pet peeve that I'm starting to have is whenever like when people drop their team and then people have to try to shit on it. Like, what are you playing in a four-man league? Like, I hate that. Like, because I'm like, one, even if you are, who cares? Like, what does it matter? Like, what is it a big deal? Like, or the, I wish I could play in your league. I would kill you guys. You know what I mean? Like, I'm like, I will say this. Like, seeing, like, some of, like, the six-team league teams, stuff like that, like, that's difficult. Like, that's hard. Because, like, every team is stacked.
Those lineup, yeah.
Yes, you don't, and lineup decisions you have to make every week, trying to guess who you should play, who should start, are tough. And so, like I have respect for those people because even though, yes, everybody's team is stacked, but, like, winning on a week-to-week basis, I mean, there's such a slim margin in trying to make the right decision on who should start and who should sit. I don't know. It's just that's my little public service announcement that just, like, irks me whenever I see people say that stuff.
The ones that are the best are the ones that are, like, actually reasonable. Like, I saw someone who was like, how'd you get Mixon and Javonte? It's like, you mean a running back that's going in the back end of round one and a running back that's going in the second round? It's like, that's completely reasonable.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, CB, what are your thoughts on Elliott have a league that we auto-draft because two guys are in the military out of country, been doing it for a few years, but it's crazy, not sure about Elliott.
Man, talk about the gamble that has to be like when you're going through and it's auto-drafting.
Oh, shit. Just heard my kid wake up. Yeah, what an interesting setup. Kev, you are definitely not an Elliott fan. I think he's fine. I think, you know, guys like you, Kev, who are shitting on Zeke a little bit too much. He's been rising, but he hasn't gotten too far. Hey, buddy.
Turn it off.
Turn it off.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yes, I am not as high on Ezekiel Elliott as most, and I just don't really see the value that he brings. Yes, he's not. I mean, he's going in like where has he gotten up to, like second or third round of drafts, and
yeah, I think he's back end of the third.
Yeah, he's going higher than that. He's risen. He's going much in like top of the third round now, mid to the top. Anyways, like I think it's just I don't see any like upside with him, right? Like I know Robbie, whenever he's talked about, he's oh he has top five upside. No, he doesn't. Like no, he doesn't. Not unless like everybody gets hurt, and I'm not talking about finishing, right? Because people try to use like where he finishes. Everybody's always finishes an RB1 every year. Yeah, but last year in fantasy points per game, which is what matters, he finishes RB15 in fantasy points per game. On a per week basis, what was he giving to you? You know, same thing with in 2020. It was the same thing. It was like he finishes like it was like RB14 in fantasy points per game. So while yes, where he finishes, that's just more of a trait of, you know, him being healthy. But on a week to week basis, what was he giving you? And I think that's my pushback on him. I just don't think he has much of a ceiling. And then with Tony Pollard, Tony Pollard is not going away. He's going to be more involved in this in the offense than what he was before. So I just think Ezekiel is capped. Like if he was your third running back, fine. Like, you know, it is what it is. And you know, I am so much more in the like I am just going straight for ceiling. I really don't care. Even in the first round, like I don't care. Like I'm trying to hit home runs everywhere I go. And I just don't see it with him. And so other people are different, and I admit that. And, you know, I think that at best he's a back-end RB1 again. And, again, I think – but then on a week-to-week basis, what does that bring you? Because the last 2 years, I remember a lot of weeks where people were super frustrated with Ezekiel Elliott and were like, can I just drop this guy? Because I'm so done with him. And, like, I don't know. So that's just where I come on. We've had this conversation so many times.
Yeah, like I said, that's why I said I think he's fine where he's going. I don't think that he is dust. You know, obviously it would be way different if he didn't have that injury, because we saw a completely different running back from, you know, the first 5 weeks when he wasn't injured to the rest of the season when he was, right? So I think we probably see something in between that, which again, going to be fine where he's going. I'm not targeting him, but if he falls in, you know, in your home leagues and your home drafts, you know, you kind of, he's kind of just sitting there, I would look at taking him like back end of the third. Rate my team from Yeef Allen JT. My Lord. What take PPR? I get it. I'll give you an A-. Hector, Sky Moore or Zamir White with the last pick?
I think it's tough because I don't know. I mean, what you maybe need, but I would probably go Sky Moore. But it's close. I like Zamir White too. Like, I think he's a very good bench stash this year. It's kind of who really wouldn't be shocked by the end of the year if he were to overtake Josh Jacobs.
Yeah, I think it's a scenario where in order for him to like reach like his true upside, like he needs an injury to Josh Jacobs for that to happen, where, you know, Sky Moore could just end up being, you know what I mean, like the best wide receiver of the group, right? Like he could just force himself onto the field and just be that guy, where I don't necessarily see it with Zamir White, just because, you know, I think Josh Jacobs is a little, you know, kind of getting piled on a little too much. I still think that he is a good running back, and I don't think that Zamir White is going to be someone who just like completely forces that coaching staff's hand and makes him insert himself into that lead role. So I would also probably lean Sky Moore, but like you said, I do like Zamir White. FG, wait, you just wait until you see the wide receiver ranking video that'll be coming out tomorrow. You don't know. You do not know. Kicks for Mike, just drafted an 8-man league. Kyler, Kupp, Hill, Sutton, McLaurin, London, D-Hop, Bateman. Running backs are Cook, Javonte, Mitchell, Pollard, and tight end is Hawkinson. So Kyler, Cook, Javonte, Mitchell, Pollard, Kupp, Hill, Sutton, McLaurin, London, D-Hop, Bateman.
Love it. I mean, have you not? I mean,
yeah.
Kupp, really good at wide receivers. Love Kupp. I mean, Hill, I think, is going to be a, you know, wide receiver one again. But Sutton, I think, is a sneaky wide receiver one. I already have him ranked as a wide receiver one. Drake London has quite a bit of upside, you know, being the wide receiver one in Atlanta. You know, Bateman could end up being a solid wide receiver two. You know, you have more than enough depth to wait for DeAndre Hopkins to come back. And then your running backs, Cook and Javonte, are excellent. And then you get Mitchell as well. Mixed in there as your third running back, but he could be another candidate as being like our low end RB1, especially with them releasing Trey Sermon today. Things that aren't surprising that happened. You know, Robbie was surprisingly quiet about that. You know,
maybe that's why he's not here.
Yeah, it probably was. And then even, Tony Pollard.
I was just gonna say, like, even in an 8-man league, like, how do you get Kupp and then Cook to fall back to you and get Javonte?
Yeah. Excellent work. Love it.
File that one under things you love to see.
Yeah. So, CB, if I can get ETN for Zeke, should I try the trade? Yes. I would rather have ETN than Zeke. I think probably Zeke's probably safer than what Zeke is, just because there is a possibility that James Robinson is the lead back, like is the starting running back for this team, and ETN ends up losing goal line opportunities and touches and stuff like that to him, where Zeke doesn't really have that. But then I think there's also the scenario where ETN could get like 70 or 80 targets this year and, you know, get 180, 200 carries and be a much better value than Zeke. So, yeah, I would do that. What would you do? Would you do Breece Hall? Or do you think you'd be giving up too much and giving up Zeke for that? Or Damian Pierce, for that matter?
I would have... ETN. I think I have Zeke ahead of all those guys.
Do you have Zeke ranked ahead of all those guys right now?
I believe so.
Because I have Breece Hall ahead of Zeke. I mean, I have a lot of running backs ahead of Zeke. I have Breece Hall ahead of him. I have Travis Etienne ahead of him. I have Damian Pierce ahead of him. I have Elijah Mitchell ahead of him. So, yeah, and I think with Zeke, though, I think if you wanted to go after, like, a Breece Hall, especially after, like, you know, some of the preseason stuff, you probably could get something else thrown in on that deal.
Yeah, it probably also depend on when the draft happened, right? Unless this is one of the auto drafts, then it probably doesn't really matter.
Yeah, that's what I would be looking at if that was me.
CHB rocking with us. Got CMC or JJ?
It's CMC, but it's super close.
I love it. It is close. I'm also rocking with CMC. That one's really close. Still McCaffrey for me, but JJ is right there. Evans or Pittman?
Michael Pittman.
Pittman for me as well. Devontae or Diggs?
Diggs.
Diggs for me as well. This is a 12-man here from Legendary Pest Control. Lamar, Aaron Jones, Dylan Hunt, Penny, Mike Davis, Sutton, JJ, Pittman, D-Hop, Chark, Landry, Irv Smith at tight end.
So overall, I think it's a good team. Like quarterback, I think Lamar is probably being a little undervalued this year for what he brings to the table, especially on the ground. And then with your running backs, I don't love having both Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon.
Like, that's probably who you have to start.
Yeah. And it's certainly possible. We've seen it happen in years past where, you know, two running backs could finish as like RB1s. Like it has happened before. I think it was Kamara and Mark Ingram that's happened with. But it's probably not likely. And so, I don't know. Like it's tough for them to have both of them on your team. Because again, you're going to have to start them. Because like the rest of your depth, like, yeah, like Kareem Hunt is fine as long as this is a PPR league. Does he say? No, he just says 12 man. He didn't say if it's PPR or not. So if it's not a PPR, then we have real problems because I don't love Kareem Hunt nearly as much in a non PPR. But and then we have Rashad Penny, who we've talked about really like, but and then Mike Davis. I think there's probably better guys on your waiver wire than Mike Davis. And then the wide receivers, though, I think are good with Sutton. Love him. Obviously, you know, Pittman is Bay. And then, you know, Justin Jefferson, excellent. So you really went heavy at wide receiver, which is good. I think you're really strong there. I just think you maybe need a few upgrades at your running back and maybe try to flip one of those two, Aaron Jones or A.J. Dillon. Like, I think you could realistically try to offer somebody like Aaron Jones and, I don't know, one of your wide receivers, maybe. Or maybe not even, maybe just Aaron Jones straight up and try to trade him for, like, Saquon or Javonte. And I think then your team would be much better off instead of having both Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon.
Speaking of Mike Davis, should I pick Mike Davis or risk it with a rookie like Zamir White?
Zamir
White for me as well. Green Vibin is with you, Kev.
I had my burner, logged in. I should have logged in under a different name.
D-Goat, rate my team out of 10. This is a 10-person PPR. Herbert, Stafford at QB, Najee, Montgomery, Penny at running back, Debo, Terry, Cooper, Waddle, Hartman, and then Knox at tight end.
Is this a super flex?
Does not say. D-Goat.
Is this a super flex? I'd like to know that.
Let's lay out the case for yes and no.
Okay. For yes, that's fine to have obviously both of them. If it is not, okay, it is. Okay, good. I was about to dunk. because like having both of them in a one quarterback league wouldn't make any sense. But now, okay, that makes total sense. I don't. Najee scares me because we already talked about with the foot injury stuff. Like, but I don't know. It sounds like it's not really as big of a deal. So I think you're fine there. Montgomery.
That is a shaky running back room.
Yes. And he does it because he just doesn't feel like he's a great fit for this new coaching staff and the scheme that they're going to be utilizing there. And so like he feels like he's somebody that just may not get nearly as much opportunity as people are hoping. And maybe he doesn't get as much as he has in your past. And then at wide receiver, I don't see like a ton of like upside with this group of wide receivers. Like Debo scares me because of I just don't think he's going to get nearly as many opportunities he did last year. He started, and so like I think he's a guy that we're going to end up looking back on and say, well, this guy was overdrafted a little bit. And then Terry and Cooper, like if Deshaun Watson was playing, it would be a totally different conversation with Amari Cooper, but. Like Amari Cooper now is like a back end wide receiver three, without Deshaun Watson out there, and then Waddle I think is fine, and then Hardman I think is fine as well. So I would give it a solid 6.5, 7.
Yeah, I would look at potentially. I would look back at your draft and see the difference in picks between Stafford and somebody like Cousins and potentially try and like trade down. Like if they were far enough, obviously if Cousins went the pick right after Stafford, you know, you're not going to get much added on top of that, but you're maybe trying to trade down at one of those QB spots just to, you know, to get another pick at either running back or wide receiver. That's probably where I would lean. You know, just because of, you know, a lot of things that you were laying out, Kev, I agree with as well. That's maybe what I would try and do. I mean, you could even go down to, you know, I mean, sending Stafford for somebody like a Tua or Derek Carr, Kirk Cousins, just to see if you can get like something else back to help beef up that lineup a little bit. Mixon and Devontae for Fournette and Justin Jefferson.
Yes.
Because of getting the best player in the deal?
Not even that. I also think that Leonard Fournette is being undervalued. Like I think with Tom Brady in this offense, like he is a legitimate case for being a top five running back. He was last year and limited, you know, and, you know, you didn't play obviously a full season last year, but I mean, he was number three in targets last year. He is the man, you know, he's going to be the guy that gets all the opportunities inside the red zone, inside the goal line. And so like, there's not much question marks for him. And then Justin Jefferson, like I said, I mean, we have him as the wide receiver one. I have Devontae Adams as like the wide receiver 9, I think. And so that's a big upgrade there between those two, I think, I feel like. And then Fournette, I don't think there's that big of a gap between Fournette and Mixon. Like, I have Fournette at, like, RB8. I actually have Fournette ahead of Joe Mixon, actually. I think I have Joe Mixon at 9.
Okay. I would do it as well, but I do not have Fournette ahead of Mixon. But you're getting the best player in the deal, and you always want to do that. I still have Fournette. I think I have him at 8, I want to say, and I think I have Mixon at 5. Or Hurts and Mixon for Lamar and Dalvin.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can definitely do that.
Is there one that you prefer between Mixon and Devontae for Fournette and Justin Jefferson, or Hurts and Mixon for Lamar and Cook?
Flip a coin. I mean, I think both of them are fine. I would probably lean towards the Fournette and Jefferson side, but
despair. Rate my team 12-team full PPR. Hurts, Pollard, Gibson, Devontae Adams, DJ Moore, Kelsey, Godwin, Deontay Johnson in a 2-flex league.
My man went with a full 0 RB. Things you love to see. I'm going to give it an 8. Obviously, the running backs aren't super strong, but the news that would happen with with the Robinson stuff makes Gibson a much better pick now and much better option. I would like to know what your bench looks like with this, because obviously, you know, who else do you have? But with Gibson and Pollard, like Pollard obviously is much more of a like an RB3, you know, low end RB2 on certain weeks, especially if he gets more pass catching work. But your wide receivers are extremely strong with Adams, yeah. DJ Moore, Kelsey, Godwin, and Deontay Johnson. Obviously, Kelsey's tight end. But so, you know, you have that positional advantage with Kelsey. Jalen Hurts can definitely be a kind of top 3 quarterback. I mean, that's where we have him ranked now. And so I like this a lot. And I think, you know, if you really needed to, you could probably take a Devontae Adams. And I think you could actually flip him for a pretty solid running back if you wanted to, but I don't think you need to. I think you're fine with the way that it is now. Depending on what your bench looks like, you just have to be aggressive with waivers.
Yeah, definitely going to have to be aggressive with waivers. I am much more a fan of the anchor RB, hero RB, whatever you want to call it, approach. Just makes me feel more warm and fuzzy down in my tummy, but hard not to like that receiving group, including Kelsey in there. Ashley wants to know, if Trey Sermon being cut, is Mitchell draft stock going up? I talked about him on the running back show that we just released earlier today. The Sermon news doesn't really do too much for me, to be quite honest. And the reason why is, and I mentioned it on the show, is that it sounded like Jeff Wilson was going to be the RB2 anyway. And even if he wasn't, it still wasn't great news for Trey Sermon either way. So obviously, you know what I mean? That's one less potential running back to take away touches, or to potentially, you know, cause we've seen Shanahan flip and, you know, start playing some other running backs, like with Elijah Mitchell at the beginning of the season last year. But there was just so much negative reports coming out behind Elijah Mitchell that it didn't really matter to me. So I wouldn't say that I'm necessarily, I don't think I took Mitchell up too much higher in my ranks, but I feel better about having him as like a mid RB2. Like I feel much more comfortable with it.
Yeah, it didn't factor in for me just because I didn't think Trey Sermon was ever going to be a factor anyway. And so I think Elijah Mitchell, like I've said, like I felt like all year he has been somebody that we could that could very well be a RB1 that ends up being a pretty big steal for people, because there's just nobody else there that's really going to take away the touches from him. And it's kind of been the narrative all offseason with him. Yes, he's already suffered a little bit of an injury, but the Trey Sermon news, it doesn't bother me. Like Trey Sermon, you know, we already knew was terrible.
Higgins or Mitchell in the flex here for Mike?
Who did the Bengals get? Let me look at that.
The Pittsburgh. Bengals get the Steelers. Who do the Niners get?
The Niners are taking on the...
I'm going to have to get these schedules down here, buddy.
I know.
Bears.
Oh, Bears. Okay. Okay.
I'm going Higgins here. This is Higgins for me.
Yeah, I'll go T. Higgins too.
Especially in a PPR.
But kicks for Mike. Come back next week where we'll be much more, you know, in the week one, you know, start set that type of stuff. So, you know, definitely change a little bit. Once we dig in a little bit more of these matchups and everything else, kind of see how everything plays out. So right now, though, I would go Higgins. This is his bench. So, yeah, I mean, this is exactly what you want to see for if you're a zero RB team, right? Ton of upside on the bench with Kenny Madison.
Drake just got the bump.
Yeah. Madison, Henderson, Drake. I think McKissick is fine. Like, he doesn't really hold much of that. But and then Rashad White, same thing. So, love this. You did a very good job with building this team, I think, for a ZRB approach.
Robinson or Edwards on the IR?
I don't know. I'd probably stash Brian Robinson.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think, you know, unless Drake just falls on his face, I think Drake is probably a more talented RB than Gus Edwards is. And obviously with him starting off, you know, starting the season off on PUP and IR, isn't great. So I think as long as, like I said, Drake just doesn't completely, you know, fall on his face and, you know, just look awful, I think he could hold on to that RB2 spot. And who knows if Dobbins ends up, because apparently I didn't see the video, but I just saw everyone freaking out about it, that, you know, there was a video that popped up that at the end of a drill, Dobbins had a pretty noticeable limp, wasn't looking too good. So who knows? Drake might even be the RB1 on that team. Swift, Saquon, Mixon, Najee, Cook. This is Dalvin for me.
It is Swift for me. So I think I have him. I think I have Swift at 4, Saquon at 5, Dalvin at 6, Najee I think is at 7, and then I think I have Mixon at 9.
Yeah, I think I have it. Cook, Swift. No, Cook, Mixon, Swift, Saquon, Najee. Is how I have it.
Yeah. So.
There we go.
We have come to the end of the questions. Again, like we've talked about, we will pretty much be live almost every day, right? I have we just for the rundown again for people to hear. We go live every Wednesday night, and we will stay until the very end. Until I mean, we've done 3 hour, 3.5 hour shows on Wednesdays to answer all everybody's start sick questions, and so we will do that again this year, and we will answer every single one of them. Every question matters, and you know. So we'll do that on Wednesdays. Thursdays, always our DFS. So if you play DFS, that's our DFS Degendation show with me and Maddie. We're going to have a lot of guests on this year. D-Bro will be jumping on from Fantasy Pros with us. Ryan, you know, it's a good show, fun show. Friday or Saturday, I don't know if you guys have locked that down yet. We have the Prop Talk every Saturday. That is excellent. And then Sundays, we're right back here doing this show on Sunday mornings, getting everybody ready with all the news and everything else right before kickoff. And then Sunday night, we jump on at halftime of the Sunday night games, and we do the waiver show for the week, and then we just do it all again the next week. And then on Wednesdays, all of our rankings videos will drop, and then for the week. And so, yeah. And I think we're, like I said, if you're not in our Discord, jump into our Discord, because I think we're still going to try to come up with something we could do just for the Discord, maybe like a Discord-only waiver show or something. Because like we have, you know, there's obviously voice chats in there and everything else to where we can have, and we could, you know, get people and talk about or help them with their teams or whatever, trade questions, whatever we can. So we're going to be doing a lot for, you know, our Discord as well, for people that jump in there.
Last one here for Kicks for Mike. We'll get out of here on this one. 10-man league PPR, another one drafted. Kyler Adams, Pittman, Higgins, Elijah Moore, Drake London, Ayuk, and then at running back, CMC, Javonte Mitchell, Damian Pierce, and Ertz. That's
that is very, very good.
Again, 10-man. This one does not compute.
I'm trying to look at it. I always look at it. I'm like, how did this
–
how did the draft pass? I'm guessing we took CMC first, and then I think in the back half of the second – how does that – I don't know how you would have had Adams. It's like Adams – you probably took Adams, Javonte, and then
– But the, wait, Higgins, Pittman and Higgins, I guess, would be the next two?
Yeah, then I guess you would have took them at 3 and 4, and then Mitchell 5.
CMC at 5. Wow.
Okay. Yeah. So then I guess
which makes even less sense. Because how do you get the rest of those names falling to you in the middle of those rounds? Like it would have made to me a lot more sense. Like, okay, if you're sitting there at the, you know what I mean, at the end of the turns there. But hey, doesn't matter how it happened. It happened.
It happened.
Yes, if you're not in the Discord, the link is in the description of this video, so go ahead and join that. Ton of content coming. Week one rankings coming. Those will be dropping. We'll be going live with Tom to do one more season-long prop show as well. So we'll be going live on Saturday night, get back in the swing of that. Like I said, week one rankings coming out early next week as well. Discord. Twitter, ask questions on any of other of our videos. Make sure we answer them all. Appreciate you guys. Hit us with that like and that subscribe. Talk to you soon.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.